Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Now introducing my mom and your speaker, Debbie Lowe.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Wow. I would have never guessed. Oh my God. Oh geez, now y'all know my kids are a little rowdy. Tried to keep it a secret. Wow. Well, today is a very big day. It's my first time sharing on a Sunday, which is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. It's actually an honor to have been asked, and I'm grateful and I'm humbled because you guys are definitely God's precious people, and it's important what is instilled and, you know, given to you. So thank you to my husband, which is a great pastor, great teacher, great leader, great friend. I appreciate him. Obviously, today we're veering away from the AD series. But you can pick it up on Wednesday. They'll have the teachings that go along with it. So watch tonight and come on Wednesday. But today they decided that they wanted to take the time to encourage mothers for their selfless sacrifices. So happy Mother's Day to all you mommies out there. And congratulations for getting dressed today. I understand that that's a feat all by itself to try to get up and get dressed. But today I want to share with you my views and insights on what it means to be a mother. And of course, it will be derived from my relationship with my mother and some of my own experiences. My mother, I don't know if they have a picture or not, but she's an incredible woman, and she's like a walking, real-life example about what it means to be a virtuous woman. And I'm grateful to her. She is the mother of 10 kids. Yeah, and she had morning sickness, all 10 of them, in all 9 months. I asked her, why in the world did you do that? And she said, the cutest answer, I had to get to you, because I'm number 10. I said, okay, I can work with that. But she still holds the highest level of influence when it comes to all of us individually. And I'm not talking in tokenism. I'm saying really, she still mothers in a very strong way and not in a meddling way. She's by no means a meddling mother. And some people do have to endure that. And that's probably, they don't quite mean any harm. It's just that they're out of position, you know. But I'm grateful that I didn't have to go through that. I have the most incredible mother-in-law, and she's with me today, and I am grateful for her. She's been incredible from the absolute beginning, and she too holds the greatest influence in her home, which is for her 6 children and her 9 grandchildren. My mother had 26 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren, so she's still got a lot of work to do. She's still got a lot of work. But that's the way it should be. Parents should have the greater influence in our lives. And even if they're not walking with the Lord, you know, that changes the level of influence. But by no means does it change the command that God gave us, which is to honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long. Now, the Bible's just got common sense, because you just do what she say or she could kill you. It's just basic. Do what she say. I don't know what's going to happen if you don't. But James and I decided in the beginning that we would do that. That was what we wanted to do for one another, and that's to honor our parents, which meant we would never pit our parents against each other. Like, you know what? No, you choose, James. It's either your mother or me. You know, I'm not going to do that because I genuinely did not want to put my husband in harm's way of dishonoring his mother. And I didn't want him to be in harm's way of it not being well with him or even us. And I surely didn't want to put him in harm's way of dying sooner than I wanted him to. I need that man for a lot of reasons. He can't go nowhere. You need to honor your mother. But I thoroughly honored my mother, and it's not because I was some amazingly obedient, non-defiant child, but it was simply because she taught me to honor her by her actions and by teaching me the word of God and by standing in her authority. Now, there's no clause in the word of God on honoring if she deserves it. It just simply says honor her. And I'm sure motherhood at times was not fun for my mother, yet I know it was necessary. Because when I couldn't see or understand my value and my worth for myself, she understood it and protected it on my behalf, even when I was her greatest contender. I'm the one fighting, and she's fighting me on behalf of me. So I'm grateful for that. She seemed to have understood her role very well as a mother and was dedicated to it. She never seemed anxious, like, oh, I gotta deal with these kids, or unsatisfied. Instead, she was there and on her post, teaching me and coaching me. I remember when I was dating James, and she would catch me on the phone. She was like, "Who did you call him? Who you calling?" And I was like, "Oh, I was just calling James to see had he called me yet." honey, put that phone down. He know how to call you. We don't call boys, he calls. And what she was coaching me into, yeah, you with it, huh? She was coaching me into being what I was supposed to be, growing into being a strong woman of God, letting me know I'm the responder, not the initiator. So I'm grateful for her, in spite of me, being my mother. So I'm grateful for that. My experience was very vain, you know. When I found out I was pregnant, I was like, ooh, I'm about to go get some pregnant clothes and be fly. Oh my God. I'm gonna be the flyest pregnant woman there is. So vanity, vanity, vanity. But that stuff ended in the first trimester when I had morning sickness. One, ain't nothing cute about morning sickness. And I didn't know what was wrong with me because I couldn't stop. So I packed my bags and went back home. I left him right here and went back to Detroit because morning sickness was overwhelming. And so mothers, trust me, you gotta be mothers forever because children tend to return. And so I stayed with her for a couple of weeks and then I entered into the second trimester, which every woman knows, you feel a little better. You're feeling beautiful and all that. Vanity came right on back because I had morning sickness and it kind of worked in my behalf. So I was like little and stuff. I was like, oh my God, I am so cute. And then I went back. Trimester number three brought me back out of vanity because, you know, that's when the baby is in full control and they put you to sleep while you're driving and, you know, accidents happen, you know what I mean, kicking till you can't sleep. So, you know, the Lord was really, he really tries to work with you during that 9 months to get out of flesh. But, you know, I still have flesh because I scheduled my childbirth. Therefore, I kind of got my hair appointment just before I went in. It ain't right, but it's true. I did that. And, but by the time I pushed that baby out, my hair was all over my head. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I look a mess. But I didn't care, because, you know, I was holding on for dear life. I was like, forget that hairdo, you know, I get this child out of me. But the thing is when you don't recognize that there is a greater purpose than you going on, then that's when it becomes a long, hard journey. You've got to make the shift. But whether you make it or not, a life has just been entrusted into you. So the question is what next? There's many choices to be made when you've had a child. And one, which is the most important one, it resembles the one you've kind of made when you've chosen Christ. And that's the no more I but you. And you have to decide to put you down in order for someone else to live. And I know a lot of people want babies, and that's a good thing. And the thing is, it's just a bigger picture and point to it than swapping stories and dressing them up like dolls. There are destinies and futures and purposes to be fulfilled, and a full-time job that will, require sacrifice. So being a mother is not about how cute your clothes can be when you, I gotta go get some clothes, I'm gonna be fly. And it's beyond you. It's a future. It's a destiny. So therefore, we have to be prepared to sacrifice. So whether you were pregnant and it was in the confines of marriage, or out of wedlock, or out of rebellion, or even out of a horrible experience, whatever the case may be, babies are not a mistake. God has great purpose for them. Psalms 139, verse 13 lets us know that thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That lets you know he's a keeper. Verse 14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. You know, it's just letting you know that there are no mistakes to life. Maybe in how it transpired or even in the timing in which it arrived. But all life is meaningful. Verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God knows your story from the beginning to the end and sent his son Jesus to die for all of our sins, the ones we've committed and the ones that have been committed toward us. Christ had a plan of redemption for all of us, and it's the cross. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was for us. So, pregnancy. Pregnancy simply is an open recognition of God's bestowed honor upon you. Yes. So whenever you see a pregnant woman, you say, oh, God has honored her. But deciding to accept the call to motherhood is a different thing altogether. Yes. Now, different it is, because we got a lot of women in here and we're a house of diversity. So therefore, you got a lot of different ways of how houses are ran. And speaking from an African-American woman, we run ours pretty dramatically. You know, when we after our kids, we say stuff like, look, you keep on, I'm gonna knock you into next week. Can't really do that, but they don't know that, and they tend to do what you tell them to do, so it works. The other thing is, I don't really know if homeschooling was quite for us. I mean, you can. It's just that, you know, we're dramatic already. So it's hard for my children. You know, you start out like, hi, okay, so what lesson we're on? Okay, great. So, okay, you read. So Johnny had what? Johnny had five apples. Oh, no. Okay, no, sit up. I need you to be clear. Okay, Johnny had what? Johnny had, you playing. You go get that belt, put it around your head. Now, what did Johnny have? Oh, so Johnny had 10 apples, gave 5 away, took back 2. How many is that? All right, I thought it was 7. It's like, oh, Jesus, that baby's in trouble. Just want to learn how to count, but it's rough. It's rough, but praise God, my babies is making it. Many different styles, y'all. We got many styles, but we have the same call. The same call. And here's a word of encouragement that expresses the 3 key points to that call. Motherhood is a partnership. Motherhood is a position. And motherhood is a promise. Our text comes from Genesis 3:20 when it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Talking about a first lady, man, she's the first lady of humanity. Now, that's a huge task, but she didn't have to do it alone. She was in partnership. The partnership starts in Genesis 1 when we see where God decides on the 6th day of creation to create man. So, God created man in his own image, both male and female. In Genesis 2, he forms them. He forms them in 2 different ways and one at a time, which clearly define that there are roles. Adam was first, and he's from the dust of the ground, establishing his leadership and provision and strength. Woman came later and was formed out of the rib of man, creating us to be the suitable helpmate, the perfect complement, and the softer version of man. But, you know, being made of the rib, kind of a little bit of man, kind of explains where the sometime unbridled strength of a woman comes out. You know, we talk a little too much, and we have too hard of a stance. That's just that, you know, coming from the rib, but we can get it back. We can wheel it back in, and we'll get back in our role. But in Genesis, God made it clear the equality between man and woman. It was confirmed and is established. We're both made in his image. Yet he gave us distinct roles. And he also made it very clear what that role was to be. He said, for man and woman to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. He also mentioned it in Genesis 9, again after the flood, to Noah and his sons. He said, be fruitful, multiply. And he said, I will establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. God said in his word, I will walk among you and be your God, and ye shall be my people. That was the original plan. Uninterrupted fellowship with God. But in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve failed. They disobeyed God and ate of the fruit that God told Adam not to eat. Then sin entered and interrupted the original plan. But God still decided to partner with fallen man to fulfill his plan and fill the earth. So in chapter 4, Eve conceives. Sin tried to change the plan, but God never did. Why? Because children are an inheritance. No, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a continued legacy. They're very important. They're the seed. See, you have to understand, remember, the original seed came from God, and Adam is the fruit thereof. So when we continue and multiply, we replicate and we keep making the seed that comes from God. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's a recognition and is a gift bestowed upon you. We have an amazing opportunity to be in partnership with God. Verse 4 of Psalms 127 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. So right here, children are likened to sharp, you know, weapons. And mothers partnered with God are likened as unto archers. So when you got a bag full of kids, you just take them boogers out. Once you've done the work, and you begin to train that child according to the way God would have them, and according to their bent, their talent, and their giftings, and then as they grow and they go leave your house, it's like arrows being shot out into the world. You're sending out men and women of God that are strong. Plenty. Now, when you have plenty children, that means you have plenty chances of making a difference in this world. Sending out lawyers full of the Holy Ghost. Sending out doctors that know how to pray. Sending out artists that are filled with the Spirit. Sending out musicians that make music, that make God move. That's who we are. That's the partnership we get to be in when we partner with the Lord. And that's why the enemy, he stirs this lie up in us that children are a disruption to our plan for success. I don't want no kids. I ain't got time for no kids. I got things to do. I got, you know, plans. But see, we fall for that. We fall for that and we become vain and we become interrupted. And we forfeit the original plan God made for us. That we stay in partnership and be used to fulfill his plan, which is to fill the earth. I remember in one of our Well-Balanced Mondays, Kim Church, you know, she belongs here, great speaker. She spoke to us about purpose. And actually, she helped us dispel the confusion behind the word, because people get hung up on, what's my purpose in life? You know, I've been trying to seek him. I don't know. I don't know what to do yet. And she helped us understand that we all have the same purpose. So we need to stop saying that. We all have the very, very same purpose. And that's simply to reconcile the unreconciled back to God. All of us. Our purpose is to go out there and share the gospel, the good news, so that those who are lost may be saved. But, she exclaimed, from what position is the question? So we tend to get purpose and position confused. See, my purpose is not to be a wife. My purpose is not to be an artist. My purpose is not even to be a mother. Those are my positions in which I use to further my purpose in the earth. Amen? So, which leads me to position. Position, what is that? It's a particular way someone is placed or arranged. Strategic placement. Motherhood is a position that is strategic. One of the positions we hold or need to hold is lay it down. Now, I don't know about you, but childbearing or giving birth, you can't quite give birth standing up. Can't do it crossing your legs. You've got to lay down. You've got to get in those stirrups and hold on for dear life, but you got to lay down. And when you lay down, life comes. And it's kind of like Christ when he says, Christ laid down his life that we may live. So the life you have to lay down is selfish. Everything about you, 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 once you've received the seed and been honored to be invited into partnership, you got to lay down. Second position is train them. Now, the reality position is really a disposition, a submitted alignment to God. So therefore, in the position of training, you know, some women have the pleasure of taking this job as a, you know, owner all day because they get to stay at home. So a stay-at-home mom is a blessing. But, you know, for some women, that will kill them and the children. So, you know, do it only if you can, praise God, because the job still can get done. But obviously, there are some benefits to being home versus not being home. Because when you come into a greater relationship with God and getting to know your child, that helps make you more keen to why and how the enemy wants to destroy your seed. 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because he's after the seed. Because God promised in his word that he would establish his covenant with the seed. So to destroy the covenant, I got to destroy the seed. So if I can get a mother off focus, then I can get to that seed. See, I'm telling you, a mother is a major threat to the enemy. Major threat. Because a mother that know who she is and in position, she start having them children, they grow up and fulfill their purpose, sharing the gospel with everyone, using their time, talent, and treasure to all come into the knowledge of grace. That's a threat. That you mean to tell me you were selfless enough to put you aside, to train them up, to tear up the devil's kingdom? Are you kidding? That means every time a woman of God conceives, the enemy gets nervous. Lord, there's another seed being trained. There's another problem to my kingdom. Paul even recognized it in Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he said, the unfeigned faith that is in you, that's old school. That came from your grandmother, Lois, and in your mama, Eunice. See, the thing is the things that were passed down by the women, they were passed down by women who understood the task. And he recognized, and he said, somebody been spending time with this boy. He got a wealth of depth and wisdom. And that's because they didn't waste their time, you know, with stuff that don't matter, reading Harry Potter books to them. That's, you know, hey, but let's not waste the time that we have. But instead, they were writing the word of God on the tables of their heart and binding it around his neck, you know? And the thing is when you invest like that, the promise on that investment is that when he is old, he will not depart. That's the promise, which leads me to my last point, the promise. What is the promise? Proverbs 22:6, if you train them, they will not depart. If you train them, they will not depart. It's a promise, people. Not a suggestion. If you train them, they will not depart. That's why we don't have time to forfeit our positions, trying to be our child's best friend. Just train them. I mean, it's okay to have good times with your kids, but not at the expense of your position. Don't ever exchange that. They need you to remain in position. So how do you train? The Bible says in Psalms 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The word of God will be the guide and instruction manual. So read the word to your children regularly. Show them how the word of God is relevant to everyday issues. Read it like a storybook. Tell them about Jonah. Tell them about Noah. Tell them about Jesus. And in some cases, tell them about the strange woman. so that she don't grow up like one and he don't get tricked being attracted to one. Amen? Look, I ain't got nothing but boys. So it's my job to teach them what to be attracted to. Because we're not out for a dime a dozen. We're out for peculiar and priceless. So I got to show them what that look like first by walking like it. Secondly, by staying in position. So, the other thing is I understand that it's not a flesh thing. So it's not really about, you know, I like her, I don't like her. We have to understand that this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I've got to stay in position, and I've got to train them, and I've got to pray. Because prayer activates the promise. The promise is they won't depart. They won't depart. So even if it starts looking like your mothering is not effective and they just going crazy, and they like, you're like, I'm trying, Miss Debbie, it don't work. No, look, stay in position. Stay in position. So when that athletic coach says something that you've been saying the whole time, and then your son come home and be like, oh my God, my coach said something so cool. It was like, oh, I get it now. You're like, what? Oh my goodness. I've been saying that. Or that teacher that you pay for gets the credit for the breakthrough. Oh, Mom, I just totally got it when she said it. I love Miss Jones. You're like, Lord Jesus. Don't get mad though, because the coach and the teacher working for you. Because when you're praying mother in position, all things work together for the good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. So that's okay. I'm glad that teacher told you, because I was praying. She was supposed to tell you what I wanted her to say. Stay in position. Stay in position. Many are called, y'all. Many are called to this position, but some choose to override that call due to hurtful experiences. Some altogether abort. They totally abort the mission. Nevertheless, they were called and they were invited into partnership. And God makes no mistakes. He knows your capability. I remember this one young lady came up to me to share with me that she had had an abortion. And God told her to tell me. And the reason why was because she said, if you ever have any cases that someone has gotten an abortion or thinking about it, I'm your girl. Call me. Now, what was really interesting is she didn't come with her head hung and timid and embarrassed. So obviously she had successfully accepted the forgiveness of Jesus and then successfully forgiven herself. So then I was seeing her successfully experiencing spiritual freedom. She was like, don't worry about it, just send it to me. Because what happened was she decided somewhere along the way, as she was growing in her walk with Christ, okay, wait a minute, I put something down. I put something down that was bigger than me. I made it about me, but it was actually bigger than me. So when she got healed, she got up and decided to re-enter into partnership with God that she was invited into earlier by making herself known and available. See, the mark of that mother was still on her. And so now she decided, I'm going to use it. So back then she forfeited the call, but by grace she was restored. And although she's not a mommy by birth as of yet, I know that God has forgiven her and will still bless her mightily, simply because she didn't stay at worldly sorrow, but entered into godly sorrow, which led her to repent, turn back around, answer the call, accept the partnership, resume position, and now operating like a mother, available to fight for the unborn and to minister to the broken. I'm telling you, y'all, mothers are dangerous, dangerous. They're dangerous when they're in position. They're a major threat to the enemy when they're in position. So don't get it confused. God invites us on the journey, but he ain't stuck if we decline. And don't get it twisted. Just because you decline don't mean you're free from the burden of the call. You will work your whole life to suppress it and will not get free until you get it right with Christ. Why? Because the call is sure. God chooses who he wills to give a mother's heart to. Some may not ever birth a child through natural means. Nonetheless, the gift and the calling is just as valid. That's why we don't have to worry about wayward kids. You don't have to, you know, shed too many tears about a child living in an unloving, rough conditions. Why? Because the Bible says, God said, I got this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hands. So God is so dedicated to his plan that he already secured partnerships with committed single mothers and spirit-filled adopted mothers and foster mothers and grandmothers and church mothers. Mothers that will hear the call in the spirit and answer it and get in position. And just like you have to in the natural, you have to bear down to push and give birth. That's the same position you have to do in prayer. You got to bear down and you got to pray. And you got to push. That is with groanings which cannot be uttered. But that's when the Spirit makes intercession. So when you feel like you can't be an influence to your child, they've stopped listening, not in prayer. Because in prayer, you're still running things. So don't get out of position. You know, I know that I'm blessed. So I'm not like just any other mommy. You know, I'm different from an unbelieving mommy. We may have the same trials. We may go through the same tests. But see, the difference is I have an expected end. The Bible says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the task God gave me has an expected end. I don't have to wonder how this what's this child going to do? What? I have an expected end. All I have to do is stay in partnership and stay in position. You know, I understand that motherhood can be hard, and it is a job. Nonetheless, it is a gift. So once you grab hold to the vision and purpose of God in the earth, submit to it by getting into partnership, commit to it by getting into a position, and stick to it by standing on his word. Motherhood is a gift and his reward bestowed upon us. So renounce your ways and learn to submit to God's. And I promise you, you cannot lose. Amen? So that's my word of encouragement to you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, fill. I want every mom in here, whether you're a grandmother, adoptive mother, new mommy, I want you to stand. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. If you're a mommy in this house, if you want to be a mommy, you married and you want to be a mommy. Yeah, that's the clause, married. I want you to lift your hands now. Say, Lord, I'm available to you. Say, my will I give to you. I'll do what you say do, but use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. Keep your hands lifted and repeat after me. Say, Lord, I'm available to you. And Lord, I repent. Forgive me, Jesus,
for placing my plans above your plans. And Lord, I accept your partnership. And Lord, I decided to get back in position. And Lord, today, I stand on your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, why don't everybody stand up in the upper venue and hear? But I think we can all sing this song. Everybody just raise your hand and sing it.
And I am available to the Lord. I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord.
Just for me, honey, I didn't bother you the whole time. Will you just sing the second verse? You know where? Now I'm giving
no,
back.
No, sweetie, you don't know it either.
I know that some of them.
No, you don't. He don't know it. Maybe we don't know it.
I want this verse. Put the words in.
Lord, I'm available to you.
It's called the I'm locked down. Spirit right there.
My will.
Well, sing it to him one more time then.
I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I am available to you.
Won't you give him one more hand clap of praise?
Hallelujah.
And ministry team in the upper venue and down here, would you come in? You know, one of the greatest gifts you can give to a mother or one of the gifts you can receive today is Christ. Only you know exactly where you stand with Jesus. Only you. And if you and Jesus maybe not standing on firm ground for whatever reason, or you don't stand with him at all, today is the day you can get it right. Give a gift to your mother. Give a gift to yourself. Give a gift to God. Your life. Or maybe you're here and you just don't have a connection with any of your spiritual family. Come down. Let us get you plugged in. Let us get you in a small group. Let us get you healed if you need healing. But don't leave here today missing something when supernaturally we can pray for you and God can restore something that's missing. So, Father, I pray. Well, hold on. I just want to say this. That just like I'm proud of my wife today for stepping out after all the years of life and ministry and practicing a new skill, it takes a call from God and bravery. But one of the reasons that I wanted her to do it is because it's like a first fruits of the house. If you women haven't recognized it by now, we're not willing to have you sit on the sidelines and watch life pass you by when you got so much that you can contribute to the body of Christ in all areas, in all realms. So this is a sampling of what all of you can do. So I don't care where you've been, the song or maybe what you've neglected, the song is reminding you that the only thing you have to do is say, I'm available. And then he'll fill your mouth with words. I watched him fill her mouth with words. She didn't have words. All she had is me saying, you gonna do it. And she said, I don't have none. I said, pray. And see, then you get something to give. You have something to give. We need you. We need the seed. We need everything that God has blessed you with. So Lord, bless the people as we leave this place. Bless us, God, to know you. To be known by you and each other. Bless us to be difference makers. Lift us where we need to be lifted. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. break up everything in us that's preventing us from being the best for you. We thank you, God. Let every mother go out of here refreshed and loved and feeling good about themselves.
Yes.
Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give him another hand clap of praise. Thank Whatever you. Your needs are, we're here to meet your needs. God bless you. You are dismissed.